It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Scott Faughn from This Week in Missouri Politics is doing his F-150 tour of the state. He's with us in the studio this afternoon. All right, let's get to some of these statewide races, et cetera, and get your thoughts on these, Faughn. I mean, it's to me, and I've been around Missouri politics since 1980, took a break in Wisconsin for about a decade, but I don't remember really a cycle where there was this little of competitive races statewide. Am I imagining that, Faughn?
Nope, totally boring.
Yeah, right.
The Republicans have won. The Democrats don't have a bench. I think, honestly, what the Democrats are doing is building a bench by running some races they know they can't win. Crystal Quaid is a tremendously talented politician. She's the person that's, you know, going to lose to Mike Kehoe, but you haven't heard the last of her. Jay Nixon ran against Jack Danforth once, and you heard his name several more times. I think Crystal Quaid's on the same track. I think they're trying to build a bench by just running some of these. Mark Osmak's actually a pretty good candidate for here in the St. Louis area, running for treasurer. Doesn't have much of a hope of winning, but I think you'll see that name again. But no, it is a very boring slate of races. Really, Lucas Kuntz is probably the most interesting Democrat, and that's just because the guy can fundraise. I'm not sure he's the right person to take on Hall.
But he's still going to lose by 10 points probably, right?
You know, I thought he'd lose by a little more than 10, but yeah, I mean, look, the guy's raised a lot of money, and I think probably this election show, Josh Hawley is very popular. No one was going to beat him, but it wouldn't kill Hawley to move back, to be back here a little bit more. It wouldn't kill Hawley to probably shop at Buckeyes, get him some normal clothes. I just think
By the way, I don't disagree with that, and I would, you know, I don't know if you know this, but they blackballed me for 4 years, Hawley has. Because I dared to...
He was your constitutional lawyer.
You think?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Let me ask you a rhetorical question. Who helped put him on the radar here in 100%. St. Louis? Thank you very much.
That's
not that. I think so, too. But I dared ask a question on January 7th or 8th about January 6th and never talked to him since. So that's just the game that they play. What am I going to do about it? It's fine. But Schmidt is a good example. Let's talk about Eric. Because there's a guy that can do exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And he's relatable, and he comes off like a real person, right?
Because he is.
Yes, exactly.
Look, I think Josh Hawley, the fact of the matter is very popular in this state. I do think, I mean, look.
Well, I still voted for him.
You can't.
Don't
really
get me wrong.
If you can't get a guy to hit Josh Hawley on maybe being a little phony if Lucas Kuntz comes off a little phony. You can't bash a guy for going to an Ivy League school if you went to an Ivy League school.
Yeah.
You can't bash a guy for dressing weird if you dress just as weird. So I'm not sure that the contrast was there for Lucas Kuntz outside of his military record. But yeah, I think Hawley will have a good victory. And I think, though, when they do the postmortem on the first term, I think they might say, you know, coming back to Missouri a little bit more probably would be on the list of things I'd do. But, I mean, it's hard to argue with a guy that in his first term gets reelected by a 10% majority. That's pretty good.
No, absolutely. Is there anything at all? Look, a couple of races around here. This, and you and I were talking about this during the break a little bit. The David Gregory, Joe Peerless race in West St. Louis County. What's that Senate district number?
15.
15.
It is a barn burner.
That might be the most competitive local race here. And the Amendment 3 issue plays in that race probably more than a lot.
I think if you look around the state, if you look at the polling, in rural Missouri, Amendment 3 is not popular. In the Kansas City media market, it is, but not aggressively so. But, I mean, if you really go look in the St. Louis media market, the Amendment 3 has support, and I think it's got some legs. I think those are being shown in the 15th. Andrew Koenig won it by 8-9 points 4 years ago. It is a different Chesterfield.
But I don't know this Joe Peerless guy, but he's not exactly whack job progressive, right?
Not at all.
Yeah, so that helps him.
If you like Doug Beck in South County, You probably like a Joe Peerless. David Gregory could be a future star. He could be the guy, like, when you – I always think of it this way. When you saw Glendale Councilman Eric Schmidt running for state senate, you're not surprised you voted for him for United States Senate 20 years later. David Gregory has the ability to be a guy that St. Louis County can go – the business community can be their go-to guy. You need a Republican in the majority party in the state's most populous of most affluent county.
I'm going to take your word on that. He does not come – now, I don't know him except for one interview, right? And they don't want to do – candidly, they don't want to do an interview now because they feel like that might give ammo to Peerless. But he doesn't come off as skilled that way to me because he comes off – to me, comes off a little phony. That's. But in fairness, I didn't have the best first impressive of Andrew Bailey. And I thought that guy, I love him. He's become a friend. I think he's doing a great job. So my first impression was wrong.
That's a guy
that's
going to be president of the United States one day.
Well, you know, we once said that about Eric Greitens too, Fawn. So
well,
gotta be
I
careful. I know you
that,
didn't, but maybe some of us did in the room.
You look at that Bailey, that guy's a bulletproof tiger. I mean, the way he fought off the entire state of New York and all of Wall Street, won every single county. He's a war hero with a war record, but not a voting
record.
He's
got a great resume.
You know, he's handsome. He's the kind of guy that'd come pick up your sister and you wouldn't feel bad about it. I tell you, Missouri has a reason to be very excited about the future with Andrew Bailey. And I'll also tell you this. I think his only problem is Mike Kehoe is going to be such a great governor.
Two-term.
I'm not sure there's going to be much.
Well, right. Where does he go? Because Schmidt and Hawley aren't going to. Okay, here's a scenario for you. Do you think Schmidt gets offered an administration position if Trump wins?
I think he gets offered an administration position, and I don't think Eric Schmidt's dumb enough to take it.
I don't think it would be a good move politically for his future.
Right?
No, I'm with you, Fawn.
Better than they went in.
Okay, but if Donald J. Trump comes and says, I want you to be my attorney general, you can't say no to that, can you?
I hope he does.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you.
I think that's very tough.
Yes.
But I as a big admirer, just an admitted fan of Eric Schmidt's and a person that believes in him. Name me the person that's went into the Trump cabinet.
It's,
and come
it's
out
a bad
better.
Idea
because
he'll have
Rex
Tillerson 4 years left in this term. No, I hope. I just had to bring it up because it would
I
certainly
think he's
be
offered to that guy from Texas, the Texas Attorney General that's been in a lot of controversy. But
is
been
that
a little
Ken Paxton?
Trump, yeah, Paxton. Something tells me that guy gets an offer. Schmidt may be able to duck out of it, and I sure hope he does because I show me the guy that's come out better than he went into that.
No, I completely agree. So how do you feel nationally right now? I mean, this is all kind of a gut check, and my gut check is I think he's going to win. I think Trump's going to win.
My gut check is statistically based. I've watched Donald Trump in 16 and 20 poll better on every level, even state Senate polls that would poll House Trump in your district. Donald Trump has consistently polled 3 to 5 points better on election day than he did in any poll leading up to it. And to me, I look at Real Clear Politics. I think they've got a decent formula how they do. They combine some polls. If you look at where Donald Trump is today and you add a 3-point bump to that, I think he wins the race.
Well, especially when you're looking at, I never thought going in that Michigan or Wisconsin would legitimately be on the line. I think that Michigan in particular is on the line. I'm still a little suspicious about my former state, Wisconsin. But I think the auto workers and, you know, look, the other thing that's hard,
population.
It's hard to tell, right? It's very difficult to tell how African-Americans are going to relate to Trump and Harris. Because, again, as I point out, and you know this, Scott, it could just be you're not motivated to vote for Harris. You're not going to vote for Trump, but I'm not going to go out and vote for her because I don't like her for whatever reason. And certainly with African-American men and Hispanic men, we know where the polling is, but will that actually manifest itself at the ballot box? Again, in two ways. Could be they vote for, you know, Trump, or if someone doesn't vote for Harris.
I have this feeling about Trump. I remember when Obama used to bait people into saying he wasn't born in America, he was born in Kenya or whatever. I always thought there were legitimate criticisms of Barack Obama. Once you got into that, I just thought, well, you're a clown. And I thought Obama baited people into getting into those fights with him so he could just dismiss them. Trump is so good. He learned something because he was one of those Obama wasn't born here guys, probably the loudest one for a time. I think Trump does things like the Madison Square Garden rally to bait his most vociferous enemies into saying stupid things. And then all of a sudden the real criticisms, which there are real criticisms of Donald Trump, they seem invalid because you're calling him Hitler. And it's like, well, the guy was president 4 years. I didn't see any Hitler stuff. So I think Trump plays his enemies. I really believe it's so funny. The oxygen that runs the MAGA train, the coal that goes in the Trump train, is his enemies' ridiculously over-the-top criticisms of him.
Way
that make
over the top.
People just think you're nuts.
I'm on the road yesterday texting and messaging, probably shouldn't have been doing it. I was driving our friend Jeff Smith, former state senator, who, you know, I love Jeff, and he's on the roundtable all the time. But he is relatively completely unhinged with TDS right now. He's going this weekend to take his daughter to a Taylor Swift concert. My suggestion was that he should let my daughter have the other ticket, and then he and I just watch football wherever this concert is. But in seriousness, one of the reasons he might be doing this.
That's a good.
Yeah, I know, but here's what I told him. You think about it, Fawn. I mean, you got to think through these things. In all likelihood, if Donald Trump wins, he's probably going to, you know, bring Bruce Springsteen, Taylor Swift, you name it. It's probably going to be a firing line or something. He's just going to execute these people because he's a fascist, Scott, and that's what
Cubs, I would support that.
You know, now you're thinking along the lines that I think a lot of people could appreciate. Hey, gas up that F-150.
Yes, sir.
And thanks for swinging by 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks,
and we'll talk
to
you on election night. How's that sound?
Yes, sir.
See you, Fawn. Thank you.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.